So there's a debate going on in the chat right now. Our buddy Mike, who says that the numbers are turning fans off to the game, the younger fans. And then Tony says, are Kim's advanced metrics generating any value? And I think the answer to that is yes. I think absolutely, 100% they are. I mean, we were talking about Ha-Sun Kim's value earlier in the day, and you know, he's what, ninth in F4 for shortstops, and ninth best shortstop in the league according to F4. So I think, yeah, I mean, that can help build value potentially in somebody that maybe the casual fan. Now, listen, when you're talking about trading people, there are no casual GMs. You know, the Kevin Towers of the world are gone. It doesn't exist. You won't get the job if you're like...
No seat of their pants.
No, dude. None. Nobody goes in there and is like, how do I tell a good baseball player? I listen. I can hear a good baseball. I can hear it.
I can smell it.
I smell it in him. I look in his eyes.
A good girlfriend means no confidence.
That's right, bro. That doesn't exist anymore. Okay? So every single GM knows how to create value out of whatever player they have. Conversely, every other GM that they're dealing with knows how to take some of that value away. It's quite an art form.
Now, there is value beyond the numbers. And if you don't acknowledge that, then you're missing some of the greatness of the game. There are players who are more than just the sum of their numbers. Wouldn't you agree with that?
Yeah.
They're, you know, chemistry, character, you know,
makeup,
some makeup, grit, whatever you want to call it, still a good thing to have in a baseball player, you know? But you can't ignore the numbers either, just because you like a guy's grit or makeup.
Correct. That
they have to also produce. There is a balance there for sure, and there is still a place in the game for some of those old school evaluation.
There's no question.
But there's no way you can just ignore the numbers and go with your gut.
The problem is I don't see a lot of the numbers people. You know, there needs to be a mutual respect between both. That's what I've always said. There's got to be a little bit of this, a little bit of that, and, you know, you're going to get a little bit of luck.
Your brain lies to you.
Oh, 100%.
And it will reinforce what you already believe. If you think Ha-Sun Kim is a good ball player, then you'll remember his line drives, you'll remember the diving plays that he makes, and you'll kind of ignore some of the errors and some of the slumps. If you think Ha-Sun Kim isn't a good shortstop, then you'll ignore some of the good plays that he makes, and you'll remember all the errors. Your brain wants to reinforce what you already believe.
Correct.
That's what the numbers can do. They can tell you, my brain's been tricking me a little bit. I didn't think Ha-Sun Kim was quite that good.
How many times have we gone and pulled up some of these pages and went, wow, all right. I was completely wrong. Yes, he's not striking out all the time.
Take Luis Campusano early in the season. Mm. A lot of praise for Campy hitting, you know, 300, getting tons of hits. But if you went to his StatCast page, you would have seen that it was a bit of a mirage, that the balls weren't being hit hard, that they weren't barreled up, and that likely if he continues on this path, things will regress, and he'll go into a slump when the balls don't fall in. Well, guess what happened? Exactly that. Sometimes it is a telling indicator of the future, that the numbers that you're seeing that are actually producing, which are important, you want, obviously you have to actually produce on the field, but you can see, but this isn't necessarily something that's sustainable.
Correct. Sustainable in 162 game season is of the utmost importance. Is what I'm doing sustainable? If it is, great. You know, I'm going to have my ups, I'm going to have my downs. If I'm just hitting ass out flares into right field and getting knocks on them, it's not going to last for 162. It may not last for six.
And part of what Jurickson Profar has said this year is that he is finally just trusting his game. Not worrying so much. When there's a bad game or a slump, doesn't need to tinker with anything.
Yeah, yeah. Just trust
just
the stuff.
Trust it. Yeah, numbers trust it. Say I'm a decent player. Guess what? I'm just going to trust it and move forward. And that can be hard to do because we all, when things aren't going well, think we need to do something and make changes. And if we're not, we feel like we're not doing our job. We're lazy. We're not doing our job. But sometimes the right thing to do is nothing.
Leave it alone.
Leave it alone.
Just like the Rindle report. Just leave it alone. Let him do his thing.
Do your thing, Paulie.
And get things started here with our edition, today's edition of the Rindle Report.
Now tuned into the greatest.
Welcome to the Rindle Report.
with Paul Reindel.
Hi, Paul.
All right.
Two stories from the world of sports that we haven't gotten to yet.
We'll start off in Major League Baseball.
And one story that you didn't know you needed.
Are you laughing, biatch?
It's the Reindel Report.
Hey, Paul, how you doing?
Okay, how are you?
On 97.3 The Fan.
Are you ready to bless the mood? I need some help, please.
That was good.
Can I get a
All right. Morning, gentlemen.
Morning, buddy.
How we doing?
Good.
Let's see. Got a couple of stories here for you. We will start off in the world of baseball. Baseball media saw a story yesterday. How do you guys feel about Pete Rose? Where are you guys at on Pete Rose in 2024?
Love the player. The person's not my favorite. I mean, if I'm being completely honest, like, I read some stuff about it yesterday because I know where you're going here. And I read an article yesterday. And I went, yeah, I'd forgotten most of this. underage 15-year-old girl in Cincinnati, you know, that he had a long, long relationship. She's 15 years old. He was playing for the Reds. It's not good.
I'm not asking him to babysit my kids anytime soon.
No, but I love the player, but I also...
He's a polarizing cat.
One of the
best hitters of all time, not in the Hall of Fame.
And I remember watching him as a kid and being like, God dang, that guy gives it, you know, Charlie Hustle, you get that nickname. And then I remember vividly the scandals that came out. I just remember sitting, like, SportsCenter was still fairly new back then. I just remember being riveted and being like, oh, my God. Marge shot Pete Rose, the betting. It was incredible.
Well, yesterday, HBO announced a four-part documentary.
Watching every second.
You will? Okay.
Every effing second.
That's what I was getting at. It's a four-part documentary on the life and career of Pete Rose. It's called Charlie Hustle and the Matter of Pete Rose.
Every second of it.
It will air on Wednesday the 24th and Thursday, July 25th, two episodes each day. So you'll have it, you know, done in 48 hours. And I was reading it along here a little bit. Fascinating portrait of a complex individual full of contradictions, one seeking redemption, but not quite ready for full atonement.
He will not, he like won't. They told him back then, all right, just apologize. He's like, nah.
We can make this work. Just apologize.
No contrition. Remind you of anybody
everyone
else?
Everyone wants redemption, but redemption requires some introspection and contrition, which he's never really totally been able to do. You've had to absolutely force out of him. Like
squeeze over it, like in the decades. Gulag. So yes.
Just squeeze like a drop of contrition out of Pete Rose has been the hardest thing in the world.
Like my six-year-old.
interviewed in the film, in the four-part documentary, Pete Rose is in it, of course. He's not an executive producer, so I don't know how much say he had in like the final cut or anything like that, but he is in it. His son, Pete Rose Jr., is in it. Mike Schmidt, Ken Griffey Sr., Eduardo Perez, Al Michaels, Marty Brenneman, John Miller. So a lot of big names. And they've got all the descriptions out for all four of the episodes.
It's a prime example of art artist.
Yeah,
that's it. Prime example.
Here's art a little bit artist. Of the trailer. See if it sells you. If you're on the fence about it or not.
This was baseball's Watergate.
One of the game's greatest players has stained the game. Mr. Rose has accepted baseball's ultimate sanction: lifetime ineligibility.
Till this day, I don't think they had evidence that would have lasted in court about me betting on baseball. We're on a crusade to get me reinstated.
He has to participate and show that he wants it.
I want baseball and Pete Rose to be friends, so I can say I'm not an outsider looking in.
What he did for me was invaluable. Pete's his own worst enemy.
Should Pete Rose be in the Hall of Fame? Integrity still matters.
Shakespeare would have had a field day with this story.
All I did is bet on baseball. I didn't rob banks. And I was wrong by not coming clean originally. But I played the game right.
No question.
So we're done because I got to go make a bet.
No, I'm just kidding.
Yeah, the betting is the betting. But the other story is really gnarly. And he did have the greatest quote I've ever heard. I'd walk through hell in a gasoline suit to play baseball. I watched Ken Burns Baseball when that came out, and of all the quotes that stuck with me forever is I would walk through hell in a gasoline suit to play baseball. And I went, you got me.
What stuck with me about that trailer was when he said, to this day, I don't think they had evidence that would have held up in a courtroom. Doesn't matter. Even you later in the trailer admit, well, I did bet on baseball.
I
should have come clean. I did do it.
That's all I did.
Who cares what specific evidence they had against you? You knew you did it. They knew you did it. And you tried to make everyone think that you didn't do it.
So tough.
Well, I'm probably going to watch.
I'm watching every second of it. Every second.
That's in a couple of weeks. Also saw this clip making the rounds yesterday. Some sports radio fun. This didn't remind me of anyone in particular that I know for sure. But Michael Kay from WFAN. No, he's ESPN 1000, I think, out there. Where is Michael?
No, he's... Is he WFAN? Isn't he on the WFAN?
He's on the Yes Network.
Yes Network.
And for 98.7 ESPN.
ESPN, okay.
So the other New York sports radio out there. And they got a guy named Mike from New Jersey call in. And I'll just let this clip play for itself. Michael Kay just goes off on this sports radio caller.
And you will never, Big Michael Kay will never criticize the Yankees. Probably hang up on me, but never.
You want me, you know what, jerk off? You want me to hang up on you, don't you? I am not going to hang up on you. I'm going to let you spoon your nonsense. All I do is sit here and criticize the Yankees every day. Are you hard of hearing? Are you hard of hearing, Mike?
What did you say about Boone? What did you say about Boone?
I tell you, he is managing and... No.
Boone doesn't do anything,
are you a Met
Mike.
Fan or a Yankee fan?
He doesn't.
You're a Met fan or a Yankee,
Yankee fan?
What are you?
Yankee fan.
You're a Yankee fan. I have said that Boone acts in concert with the front office. I'm giving you reasons what's going on. I have said over and over they have a chance of falling out of the postseason. What do you want me to do? I don't understand what you want me to do, Mike.
Boone
go find it somewhere else.
Boone is a puppet.
Go find it somewhere else, Mike. Tell me who's saying stuff like this.
You'll hang up, Michael. You'll hang up, Michael.
Again, you want me to hang up on you, you clown? You want me to hang up on you? I am going to let you bury yourself. I'm not going to hang up on you. You deserve to be exposed as a moron. Go. Continue to go. You've got the radio. Go, Mike. Go.
It's uncanny.
It's
like adding a New York accent to a certain host that we know very well. And I, of course, mean Annie Heilbrun.
Annie Heilbrun, just like her. Just like Annie.
I said nobody else.
I mean, the only thing he didn't say was,
dude.
I don't say it twice.
I said it twice, dude. Aaron Boone's got to go. I said it twice, dude. How bad would it suck to live in New York if you were a fan of one of those teams and you still had to cover the other team? Because they have that all over. And like that one guy, Sal's like a Yankee or a Met fan. And then Michael Kay, obviously, works for the Yankees. But like, no, I think the Mets should trade. So it's like, of course you do. You're a Yankee fan, you bum. And you're
it'll be tough to maintain your credibility if you were a fan of one of the
other. Horrible. Yeah. Horrible.
But you don't want to just be Mr. Neutral.
You can't be.
I'm not a fan of either the Yankees or the Mets.
Right.
I'm simply an impartial observer of the whole thing.
You're a bum.
Calling him twice.
I don't say it twice, dude. I say it once. Oh, my God. I did not. You're hearing what I said.
Put the other one on.
There is no other one. That's
it.
The
other one. This man, what we heard was you on the horn.
Bro, I don't give a what you heard.
I'm sending
you what was said. Whatever you think you heard, I don't care.
Damn, dude.
You're out of your mind. I give you the evidence. I'm giving you the evidence. That's what was said on the radio. That's what was said. Like, are you kidding? I gave you what I said. I didn't say it again.
Hey.
Your brain plays tricks on you.
Yeah.
Woods brings you the StatCast numbers of what was actually said.
Yeah. I just sent you
all. Can't trust your own brain sometimes.
Yeah, there was, I need money. Says, I've never heard such an aggressive dude in my life before. Adam, this sounds like every phone call I have with Stephen Woods. Yeah, oh my God. Adam and I have had some bangers on the phone.
Yeah, a little passionate. It's all right.
Don't say it twice, dude.
So good.
Identical Michael Kay. Identical.
That's great. I saw that yesterday. I was like, I hope Paulie brings that one in.
Mike says, Michael K is a bootlicker. I think when you work for a team, there's always a fine line you have to walk. I appreciate and I respect a guy like Jesse Agler, who will give us honest opinions.
Oh, yeah.
But, of course, he can't simply just come on and just trash everything about the team.
Sure.
You know, he's a team employee. He's, you know, on the Padres payroll. But he also is not going to lie to you about the team. I believe Jesse will not, he will not tell lies about the San Diego Padres. Now, he may not accentuate some of the negatives sometimes, which I totally understand, but he's not going to just bald-face lie and say the Padres are red when you know that they're blue.
Ben, the funny part about this job, and when you hear stuff like that, and I've got that before, so you're telling me then, whoever you are, Mike, and you work at Qualcomm, you're an engineer, you walk into your CEO's office, and you're like, you're a bum. You're ruining this country. You suck. You're a loser. I just tell it like it is, bro. I'm no bootlicker. No, everybody has a boss. Everybody on the planet. They act like media guys don't. Like, we don't have a boss or sometimes. And it's like, bro, I can't, you know, I can't go nuclear all the time. I went nuclear on that guy because that guy was calling me a liar. But we've always said on this show, you're going to get how you were genuinely feeling. Genuinely. Some days the Padres losses devastate me. Some days, like today, when I'm going on vacation, I'm like, it's not my problem. I'll watch tomorrow. I'm into it.
It's never your problem.
It's not my problem. But holy smoke.
We can't fix them.
Yeah, I can't fix them.
Well, we're up against the clock, so I had a pretty inappropriate. We don't need to get to it.
You just want to skip it?
What? The best story of the day.
All right.
Tease it, and we'll come back.
Yeah.
Just be careful.
We've got to be very careful. About it over the break, how you want to handle this, if you're really going in that direction.
You guys want to Google the couple in Georgia and a margarita.
Ben does not want to
do this.
Think about this. Think twice. Either way, we're going to give away some John Fogerty tickets when we come back as well. And don't forget, the roundtable is coming up at the top of the hour, all ahead. And Woods' vacation is about 43 minutes away, right here on San Diego's number one sports station. Back after traffic here on 97.3 The Fam.
All right, be very careful. This is one of those little ears, maybe. Turn it down for little ears.
Yeah.
Does that include me?
Mature.
This is like I'm kind of a little ear here.
I want you to hear every word.
I want you to hear every second. Mature. This is a mature.
There was a viral clip going around on the social medias yesterday. Now, this actually happened a couple of months ago, but police just found out about it after the video went viral. And I believe the woman involved may have ratted on herself, like turned herself in. But there was a couple in Georgia, Waycross, Georgia.
Now, they're a couple.
Yes. Okay. They know each other. Joe and Mary. Joe Boyette and Mary Sweat. That's her name.
Boyette and Sweat. In the mornings here in Georgia. It's Boyette and Sweat. Thanks for tuning in. Braves heading to San Diego to take on the Padres.
They are facing charges for an act that they committed at Rodeo Mexican Restaurant in Waycross, Georgia.
Rodeo Mexican Restaurant.
I bet it's so good, too.
Tex-Mex, we're thinking here?
It's Georgia, so no, even worse.
Southern Mex.
Just rodeo. Okay, go ahead.
Adam's lurking outside the studio. Like, is he just going to run in and pull the plug at any point?
That means he's not listening.
Do you need us? Did you need us? Okay.
Are we good?
I think we're fine.
Okay.
Right. I guess he's not listening.
So, the video, which you can pretty much see pretty clearly what's happening.
You gonna put it in the chat or
no? Shows Mary.
Don't understand this.
Kind of hiking up her dress.
Yep, the dress goes up, and then
everything is exposed, and she's in a booth on her knees,
right,
with her rear end out.
Right,
and Joe Boyette took a picture of Margarita. Ben, just to clear it up, I don't think this was a frozen margarita.
It wasn't frozen. It was just mixed.
The mixed margarita.
On the rocks.
On the rocks.
On the rocks. Yeah. And he's got the pitcher and a funnel. And
a funnel?
He tried to use the funnel to drink the margarita after he had poured it down.
Nope. That's it.
Okay.
That's it.
Even I know where you're heading here.
Yeah.
Brandon in the chat says, stop beating around the bush. And I said, hey, man, we're on radio still. This isn't just on YouTube.
So I've heard the expression that's used when you drink an alcoholic drink, but not through the normal orifice,
right,
as it were.
The blank chug.
Right.
Right.
And
is not that. This I think, was more like a luge.
And I've never totally understood the concept necessarily.
Yeah.
Well, what is the funnel for?
Well, the funnel didn't work, so he threw the funnel away.
Okay, the back of the.
So they were arrested for what? Indecent exposure?
All kinds of stuff,
making
really.
A real big mess.
Get arrested for excessive sticky mess in a booth. A luge. I need you to isolate yourself saying luge.
Wasting
luge.
A perfectly good pitcher of margaritas? I mean,
how drunk do you have to be like, get that skirt up. I'm going to do that luge we talked about. Margarita luge we talked about. Down at the bottom. So, now, that is one thing that we will not be doing on summer break next week. Baby, get that skirt up.
And now, is it a urban legend or is it medical fact that the alcohol
drunker?
Absorbs faster into your system?
I don't know.
Through alternate means of ingestion.
So I heard the old rumor about Stevie Nicks is that she did so much blow that she couldn't do it through her nose anymore, so she went another direction. Mm. And it worked, apparently. That is a desire. Like,
they look actually like a friendly couple. We have the mugshot up.
Yeah,
our,
they do. They do.
Our chat. They look fairly normal. Not what I was expecting.
She's gritty.
Joe looks like he's done this before.
You see, there's a glint of pride in his eye.
It ain't
like,
my first rodeo Mexican restaurant.
You damn right. Look at his face. Yeah, damn right. I did. I'll do it again. I'm going to do it again tomorrow. Look at him.
There is some pride there. There's a pride in the eyes.
TMZ says, yeah, it happened 3 months ago, but police just found out about it after Mary ratted on herself. She was upset after someone leaked the video online and wanted cops to arrest the person, and then instead her and Joe were arrested for public indecency. The restaurant put out a statement saying this was unacceptable and not reflective of the family-friendly dining experience that they strive for at Rodeo Mexican Restaurant.
I take my family out for a nice dinner. We open the door. She's on all fours. She's like, yeah!
What the hell?
I'm like, all right, now let's go. Turn around. Dad's going to come back later. Holy crap. The face. I cannot get over his face. Hell yeah.
Now,
hell yeah.
I mean, it says here that some of the employees of the restaurant may also face action or charges for inappropriate action because, according to reports, one of the restaurant employees is the one that gave Joe the funnel.
Hey, you got a funnel back there?
Hey!
I'm sorry. Again, I apologize for being the unaware one. Which way are you doing the funnel? Is it upside down?
I still don't know what the funnel is for. I'm going to be honest with you. A funnel has a small side
and
a big
opening. I don't know which.
Here, Ben, you can see.
I don't know how it's going to help.
I'm not going to show
by adding
this.
A funnel
Are you
to it.
Pouring something into the funnel.
Yeah, I can see if you're trying to. But
then it's like a. Then it. Like, you know what I mean? Right,
I don't
we'll
know.
Watch it at the break and then we'll get a better understanding of it. Thank you, Paulie. Really great rhyme.
Now, unfortunately, for this restaurant, anytime you Google now Rodeo Mexican Restaurant, like, all I wanted to know was what was on the menu, like the panchitos or corn tortilla chips smothered with queso, black beans, sour cream, guacamole, pico de gallo, and pickled jalapenos. Well, those are nachos. Why are they called panchitos? It's just nachos.
Of course you go look at the menu.
The mini changas.
Oh, God, I love a chimichanga. Let's go to break.
All right. We will come back. We got our final segment of Ben and Woods. First, we got the John Fogerty tickets to give away. He is not affiliated at all with the Rindle Report. If you'd like to win two tickets to the Rady Shell, September 4th to see John Fogerty in concert, be our fifth caller at 833-288-0973. 833-288-0973. Tickets are on sale now at Ticketmaster.com, but you can win them right now at 833-288-0973. Back to wrap things up before the roundtable next year on 97.3 The Fan. couple updates on stories we've talked about in the past. Yesterday mentioned Torrey Pines High alum Taylor Fritz was in the quarterfinals at Wimbledon.
So close.
Looking to get to the semis, and it was a really good match against Lorenzo Musetti.
Oh.
Taylor Fritz won the first set, lost the second one in a tiebreaker. We were on the air. That was tough. 7-6, 7-5 in the tiebreaker. That was probably the match right there because Musetti won the third set. Fritz came back, though, to win the fourth set. But then in the end, Musetti took the last set 6-1 and advanced to the semifinals. That second set was probably the decider there. That tiebreaker, just a point or two making the difference is Taylor Fritz is eliminated in the Wimbledon quarterfinals.
How many games did he play total?
In a tennis match?
Did they play yesterday? Because they went...
So probably around 50.
Oh, my God.
Yeah. Good God. Remember they had that one match a few years ago, Isner and Mahut, and it was like, what was it, like 65-63 in the fifth set?
Oh, my God.
They went like 100.
Oh, my God.
28 games in the one set because there was no tiebreakers back then, yeah. And you had to go.
Longest 10-inch match in history. It was a first-round men's single. This was 2010.
Yeah, Isner Mahut.
And I'm trying out exactly how 11 hours and 5 minutes.
Yeah. But how many games? How many games did it go in the fifth set? It was
11 hours.
70 to 68
in the fifth set. Normally you have to get to 6 to win.
They've already played 4 sets.
That would be like a baseball game going to the, I don't know, 137th inning before you decided it.
It says the match began at 6:13 British time. And at 9:07 p.m., due to the fading daylight, play was suspended before the start of the fifth set. After resuming on Wednesday the 23rd at 2:05 p.m., the record for the longest match was broken at 5:45. Play continued until the final set was tied 59 games all, at which point the daylight faded again.
Oh,
3 days.
So play was suspended once more. Just after 9 p.m., they resumed at 3:40 p.m. on Thursday, and eventually Eisner won the match at 4:47. The final set time 8 hours and 11 minutes.
Do you know that tennis when it started,
just the final set was 8 hours and 11 minutes.
I read that when tennis, like when they started and it was invented, it was just like a leisurely game, a gentlemanly game, and they used.
You're supposed to actually hit it back to the other person to get it
to the other person.
Yeah.
So essentially, and even pro tennis was that way. And it was just, I'm looking at you right in the eye, and I'm like, here you go. And you hit it right back. Here you go.
There's a faux pas if you actually like hit a winner like too far away from the person.
If you try to like lob one, or if you try to smash one, that was a...
How very gauche.
That was amazing. Yeah. That's amazing.
Well, baseball started that way as well.
Oh,
pitchers, were supposed to like throw batting practice
in
the beginning of baseball. Like, your job was to throw it in there.
That's amazing.
I didn't know that. Eventually, obviously, it evolved where the pitcher's job became to try to get the guy out at home plate and not just
your competitive spirit,
not just throw it in there for you to hit it.
Just got a shot of Manny Machado's camp. My son is at right now. One of our tier ones, Chris, is one of the coaches. And they just brought Manny out, doing the big speech. All the little kids out there in Machado jerseys. Looks pretty sweet out at Helix. So, going to run down there and check that out and see how everything's going today.
The other story update is from a while ago, and this one is a sad one, but the passing of Sean Burrows, they just released coroner's report, and we know that Sean Burrows died at the parking lot of the Little League Fields on May 9th at the age of 43. The coroner said after performing the test that he died of a fentanyl intoxication overdose, unfortunately, which is I don't know if it's gonna make it any sadder. It's sad enough that he's gone to begin with, but obviously I say that just as the cautionary tale for anybody out there. You don't know whether he was taking it intentionally or not, but there's so many chances now where it gets in your system and it can just do such devastating damage, including death, and that's what caused the death of Sean Burrows.
Oh, super, super sad. We have a shout out to his family too. Did you see that one this morning? It's actually a shout out to her family. Did you guys see who passed away?
Actress
Pauly.
Hang on, I gotta get the shout out to
her family. That's a whole different drop than
yes.
This is BBC News. We're interrupting our schedules for the following announcement. Buckingham Palace has announced the death of Her Majesty
Shelley Duvall has passed on, Ben, and had a really, really, really difficult life, especially near the end. She passed away. She is 75 years old.
For those in the younger set, famous roles that you might be aware of for Shelley Duvall.
Olive Oil in the movie Popeye.
With Robin Williams.
Robin Williams.
Yeah.
A classic when we were kids, Benny. And then, of course, The Shining. I mean,
Wendy.
Wendy Torrance. Yeah. And I when I think of that role, there's not a better actress in the world that you could have put in that role. No one. Nobody could have been better than that. So she passed away, been 75 years old, had been in really, really poor health the last few years, and just an incredible, incredible actress, man. Dynamite drop in. Do you have anything else yet?
I don't really have anything else to add. So why don't we take our last check of traffic here on 97.3 The Fan. Sorry, I didn't have anything to jump in there with any more thoughts on Shelley Duvall.
It's okay. You get nervous for the round table.
Yeah. Yeah, a little bit.
Oh, your rival's back.
Yes. Tony Gwynn Jr. is scheduled to be here.
Hope he
taking your place today, actually, in the round table.
No, he works here, too. Right.
He's not
filling in for me. No, I'm missing one.
He's not a special guest.
No, he's not taking my place. He also works here.
He's been traveling.
He has his own key card.
But you have been wanting to create a rivalry with him for some dumb reason lately. You've really been...
He just gives me a lot of side eyes when I make comments during the roundtable.
He gives me a lot of side eyes. He gives everybody a lot of side eyes. He's smart. He's the only big leaguer in there. He's got to listen to me.
He's got a different perspective. That's why I like having him in the roundtable so much.
He's got to listen to me, you, Craig Elston, and Chris Ello be like, here's what they should do. Like, wouldn't you be... What if you had to sit in there with four people that didn't know... anything that never did professional radio, and they're like, here's what you should do.
Believe me, I'm constantly thinking about how Tony is judging us the entire time.
Me too. Absolutely. I like to just ask him questions. I don't ask. I was like, hey, in that situation, would you blah, blah, blah?
But like, I also feel like he can sometimes be that perspective that he has as a former player.
So good.
But he can also be compromised a little bit. He will always side with the players.
That's a good point. Good point.
And while we probably, as fans, go too far in the other direction of being critical and like wondering, what are you doing there? Tony sometimes, I think, is so empathetic to how difficult it is. And I do understand it's such a difficult game, but he's going to side with the players more often than not.
Because he was one, yeah.
Right.
And grew up. I mean, who else knows the game better than that guy with the way he grew up and then, of course, what he did for a living?
I want Tony to know. I want him to understand that I do understand that part of it.
Right.
I'm not oblivious. I've talked to enough big leaguers. I know how difficult the game is. I want Mike Schilt to understand that as well.
Yeah.
That we're not, yes, we are two babbling heads on the radio in the morning. And we talk a lot of silly things and we fill a lot of time.
Like butt,
yes.
Luge.
But I'd also like to think that we are savvy enough as baseball observers and fans to recognize the difficulty and, you know, just the toughness of being a major league manager or a major league player. I take all of my opinions and I put them through that lens first. Before I say anything and just, you know, spew it out, I understand that it's a 162-game season. One game does not make the entire year. Players will go through slumps and they will go through, you know, surges throughout the course of that season. I understand all that and I add it to my equation when I'm thinking. I'm not completely oblivious to that. And I'd like Mike Schilt, I want to make sure Tony Gwynn Jr. understands that I'm not ignoring that completely. There also are legitimate times where you can add your opinion and sometimes criticism of your team. Isn't that fair?
Bro, I listened to Ron Darling last night. There was a clip going around. Luis Severino was pitching for the Mets. And, you know, Darling pitched. He's also a broadcaster, pitched very well, right? And Severino didn't back up home plate, and he's like, it's inexcusable. It's absolutely inexcusable. It cannot happen.
And Tony
is
critical.
He did it
twice. Tony's critical at times, too. And when he is, believe me, I take notice when Tony is critical, because I know that he has seen something that is worth observing and mentioning when he brings it up. You know, he won't just off the cuff be mad at something and, you know, let it spit out. But when he notices something, he will tell you, and he will be critical for sure.
Yeah, no question about it. Absolutely no question about it. So, yeah, it does kind of stick out more when he does it,
mm-hmm.
right? You're like, ooh, you really Absolutely. Messed up, because it's now a glaring something that happened. Well, I hope you guys get in a huge fight today.
More than anything.
Not a fist fight, because that...
That wouldn't go well for me. I mean, I'm bigger than he is, but he's a lot faster and stronger and
athletic, younger, yeah. Yeah, more handsome, and all of it.
I mean, handsome's in the eyes of the beholder.
Not really. I think it's not really objective.
Not in this case.
Not in this case. I don't think it's a matter of preference in this one. No, it's just objectively he's more
it's
handsome.
It's an objective fact.
Yes,
he's more handsome than I am.
Correct.
There's not one person that could disagree with that statement.
I don't think so.
Really?
I don't think so.
Huh. Hannah and Carol, if you compared you to Tony Gwynn Jr.
She'd probably take Tony Gwynn Jr.
Yes.
Probably. Yeah. Not definitely. You're saying that everyone would definitely take Tony Gwynn Jr. over
after
me.
Well, no,
you say he's just more handsome.
She'd say he's more handsome than you.
Like, if you had 100 people out there and you lined me next to Tony... You're saying all 100 would say Tony is better looking.
Correct.
There wouldn't be one there. Not one.
No. He's more.
Because if there was one, then it would be subjective.
Right.
That would be everyone can have their own opinion. You're saying this is a fact.
It's a fact.
This is 100 to none. This is a fact.
Yeah, he's a handsome dude. I also don't want him to kick my ass. So I'm all...
Lisa, yes, Ben, sorry about it.
Yeah, sorry, what? Yeah. There's things that you just wear, and then, you know, there's things that can be debated. That's not one of them.
I mean, some people just prefer a bigger guy, maybe?
A portlier, like a bigger dude. Yeah, maybe, but I think handsome is different. Handsome's not fit. Your face, his face, objectively.
Just his features. His features. What's wrong with my features?
Nothing. He's got better ones.
Do I need to take the glasses off? Does that, now am I...
No, because then you see that mole right there. See? Then they'll get you. Now, you can hide that
still
mole.
Still not. No, you can still see it. It's still there.
Remember when I thought that it was that you had like something on your face?
Yes.
Because I'd never seen it before.
Wipe it off.
I go, oh, no, he's on TV. He's got chocolate on his face. This is like opening day. No,
have you ever studied Tony's face? Could he possibly have a...
Oh, all the time.
A mark or two there?
No, very handsome. No. Very handsome fella.
Hmm.
Yep. Sorry, I'm really sorry. I'm not trying to hurt your feelings. I'm saying objectively, you just know he's more handsome.
I mean, I wasn't expecting it to be like 50-50 split here.
Oh, it's definitely not going to be. But I do feel like sometimes you're a little bit delusional. Like with your, I think I could beat Steve Sugimoto at golf or Keegan Bradley. But I would be as good of a Ryder Cup.
I don't think I'd beat him half the time. I'm saying maybe like one
Never.
Like 100, just like with the Tony thing. Never. Just like 1 out of 100 is all I'm looking for.
Never. That's what I'm trying to get you to realize.
Lightning strikes.
Never. Nope.
Circumstances are just perfect. Mm-mm. All the universe comes into alignment.
A vision impaired lady might find you more handsome than Tony when you're a blind girl.
Might. Just on vocal quality
sure, maybe
alone.
Maybe vocal quality. Maybe if she feels around, she doesn't like what she feels. But visually, I'm sorry. This one's going to roll to him.
All right, fair enough.
All right, I'm sorry. I'm not trying to hurt your feelings.
Last question. Are you planning on stealing some Round Table pizza on your way out today's Round Table?
You know what would be a good move is to sit in there for like 10 minutes and just watch you guys do the Round Table. Just really rub it in, eat some pizza. No, I'm not going to be a jerk. I want to get over to camp.
We're just sitting there.
Yep. I'm going to go get over to camp, see Bo. My buddy who's flying in today from Texas, he's already delayed a little bit. So got to pick up Bo, bring him down there, and, you know, get on with the vacation this weekend. But
we'll have
I'll
a,
miss you guys.
Have a really good time. You will be back on Monday.
Yeah.
Please be back
allegedly,
on Monday.
Yeah.
Paulie and I will hold down the fort tomorrow. We will talk to Mike Schilt at 9 o'clock. You know,
he's probably be happy I'm out.
Hopefully they'll win tonight and somehow, and you know, we'll have a positive victory to talk about tomorrow. I know they don't play. Which
I was
makes
just
it
looking at you like
really unlikely.
Oh, no, he's insane.
That would be nice, but more than likely they'll still be on a 4-game losing streak when
they
we talk
be.
To Mike Schilt
they
tomorrow
will be for sure.
And we'll just have to work our way through it.
I'm so sorry, guys. Not sorry enough to come in, but I am sorry.
It'll be okay. We'll manage our way through it tomorrow, no doubt about it. And then Woodsy will be back on Monday. For the rest of you, though, please stay tuned. Join us for the 97.3 The Fan Padres Roundtable. Coming up commercial-free next, presented by San Diego Roundtable Pizza. And then Annie and Elston will be on at 11 o'clock after the roundtable. So that's it for us. For executive producer and imaging director Paul Reindl, for the soon, probably now vacationing Stephen Woods, I'm Ben Higgins. I will talk to you in just a second here on the Roundtable on 97.3 The Fan. We'll be right back. A couple updates on stories we've talked about in the past. Yesterday mentioned Torrey Pines High alum Taylor Fritz was in the quarterfinals at Wimbledon.
So close.
Looking to get to the semis, and it was a really good match against Lorenzo Musetti.
Oh.
Taylor Fritz won the first set, lost the second one in a tiebreaker. We were on the air. That was tough. 7-6, 7-5 in the tiebreaker. That was probably the match right there because Musetti won the third set. Fritz came back, though, to win the fourth set. But then in the end, Musetti took the last set 6-1 and advanced to the semifinals. That second set was probably the decider there. That tiebreaker, just a point or two making the difference is Taylor Fritz is eliminated in the Wimbledon quarterfinals.
How many games did he play total?
In a tennis match?
Did they play yesterday? Because they went...
So probably around 50.
Oh, my God.
Yeah. Good God. Remember they had that one match a few years ago, Isner and Mahut, and it was like, what was it, like 65-63 in the fifth set?
Oh, my God.
They went like 100.
Oh, my God.
28 games in the one set because there was no tiebreakers back then, no, and you had to go.
Longest 10-inch match in history. It was a first-round men's single. This was 2010.
Yeah, Isner Mahut.
And I'm trying to find out exactly how. 11 hours and 5 minutes.
Yeah. But how many how many games did it go in the fifth set? It was
11 hours.
70 to 68.
70 to 68 in the fifth set. Normally, you have to get to six to win.
They've already played four sets.
That would be like a baseball game going to the, 137th inning before you decided it.
It says the match began at 6:13 British time. And at 9:07 p.m., due to the fading daylight, play was suspended before the start of the fifth set. After resuming on Wednesday the 23rd at 2:05 p.m., the record for the longest match was broken at 5:45. Play continued until the final set was tied 59 games all, at which point the daylight faded again.
Oh, 3 days.
So play was suspended once more. Just after 9 p.m., they resumed at 3:40 p.m. on Thursday, and eventually Eisner won the match at 4:47, the final set time 8 hours and 11 minutes.
Do you know that tennis, when it started...
Just the final set was 8 hours and 11 minutes.
I read that when tennis, like when they started and it was invented, it was just like a leisurely game, a gentlemanly game, and they usually...
You're supposed to actually hit it back to the other person to get it.
The other person.
Yeah.
So essentially, and even pro tennis was that way. And it was just, I'm looking at you right in the eye, and I'm like, here you go. And you hit it right back. Here you go. And
there's a faux pas if you actually, like, hit a winner, like, too far away from the person.
If you try to, like, lob one, or if you try to smash one, that was a...
How very gauche.
That was amazing. Yeah. That's amazing.
Well, baseball started that way as well. Pitchers were supposed to, like, throw batting practice in the beginning of baseball. Like, your job was to throw it in there.
That's amazing.
I didn't know that. Eventually, obviously, it evolved where the pitcher's job became to try to get the guy out at home plate and not just...
Well, your competitive spirit.
Not just throw it in there for you to hit it.
Just got a shot of Manny Machado's camp. My son is at right now. One of our tier ones, Chris, is one of the coaches. And, they just brought Manny out, doing the big speech. All the little kids out there, Machado jerseys. Looks pretty sweet out at Helix. So, going to run down there and check that out and see how everything's going today.
The other story update is from a while ago, and this one is a sad one. But the passing of Sean Burrows, they just released coroner's report. And... we know that Sean Burrows died at the parking lot of the Little League Fields on May 9th at the age of 43. The coroner said after performing the test that he died of a fentanyl intoxication overdose, unfortunately, which is, I don't know, it's going to make it any sadder. It's sad enough that he's gone to begin with, but obviously you know, I say that just as, you know, the cautionary tale for anybody out there. You don't know whether he was taking it intentionally or not, but, you know, there's so many chances now where it gets in your system and it can just do such devastating damage, including death, and that's what caused the death of Sean Burroughs.
Oh, super, super sad. We have a shout out to his family too. Did you see that one this morning? It's actually a shout out to her family. Did you guys see who passed away?
Actress.
Pauly.
Hang on, I gotta get the shout out to her.
Her family. That's a whole different drop than.
Yes.
This is BBC News. We're interrupting our schedules for the following announcement. Buckingham Palace has announced the death of Her Majesty
Shelley Duvall has passed on, Ben, and had a really, really, really difficult life, especially near the end. She passed away. She is 75 years old.
For those in the younger set, famous roles that you might be aware of for Shelley Duvall.
Olive Oil. In the movie
Popeye with Robin Williams.
Yeah. A classic when we were kids, Benny. And then, of course, The Shining. I mean,
Wendy.
Wendy Torrance. Yeah. And I when I think of that role, there's not a better actress in the world that you could have put in that role. No one. Nobody could have been better than that. So she passed away, been 75 years old, had been in really, really poor health the last few years. And just an incredible, incredible actress, man. Dynamite drop in. Do you have anything else yet to add?
I don't really have anything else to add. Right, so why don't we take our last check of traffic here on 97.3 The Fan. Sorry, I didn't have anything to jump in there with any more thoughts on Shelley Duvall.
It's okay. You get nervous for the round table?
Yeah. Yeah, a little bit.
Oh, your rival's back.
Yes, Tony Gwynn Jr. is scheduled to be here.
I hope he fights
taking your place today, actually, in the round table.
No, he works here, too. Right.
He's not filling in for me.
No, I'm missing one.
He's not a special guest.
No, he's not taking my place. He also works here.
He's been traveling.
He has his own key card.
But you have been wanting to create a rivalry with him for some dumb reason lately. You've really been...
He just gives me a lot of side eyes when I make comments during the roundtable.
He gives me a lot of side eyes. He gives everybody a lot of side eyes. He's smart. He's the only big leaguer in there. He's got to listen to me.
He's got a different perspective. That's why I like having him in the roundtable so much.
He's got to listen to me, you, Craig Elston, and Chris Ello be like, here's what they should do. Like, wouldn't you be... What if you had to sit in there with four people that didn't know... anything that never did professional radio, and they're like, here's what you should do.
Believe me, I'm constantly thinking about how Tony is judging us the entire time.
Me too. Absolutely. When we're in there. I like to just ask him questions. I don't ask. I was like, hey, in that situation, would you blah, blah, blah?
But like, I also feel like he can sometimes be that perspective that he has as a former player.
So good.
But he can also be compromised
a
little bit.
He will always side with the players.
He will always side with the players.
Yes, that's a good point. Good point.
And while we probably, as fans, go too far in the other direction of being critical and like wondering, what are you doing there? Tony sometimes, I think, is so empathetic to how difficult it is. And I do understand it's such a difficult game, but he's going to side with the players more often than not.
Because he was one, yeah.
Right.
And grew up. I mean, who else knows the game better than that guy with the way he grew up and then, of course, what he did for a living?
I want Tony to know. I want him to understand that I do understand that part of it.
Right.
I'm not oblivious. I've talked to enough big leaguers. I know how difficult the game is. I want Mike Schilt to understand that as well.
Yeah.
That we're not, we are two babbling heads on the radio in the morning. And we talk a lot of silly things and we fill a lot of time.
Like butt.
Yes.
Luge.
But I'd also like to think that we are savvy enough as baseball observers and fans to recognize the difficulty and, you know, just the toughness of being a major league manager or a major league player. I take all of my opinions and I put them through that lens first. Before I say anything and just, you know, spew it out, I understand that it's a 162-game season. One game does not make the entire year. Players will go through slumps and they will go through, surges throughout the course of that season. I understand all that and I add it to my equation when I'm thinking. I'm not completely oblivious to that. And I'd like Mike Schilt, I want to make sure Tony Gwynn Jr. understands that I'm not ignoring that completely. There also are legitimate times where you can add your opinion and sometimes criticism of your team. Isn't that fair?
Bro, I listened to Ron Darling last night. There was a clip going around. Luis Severino was pitching for the Mets. And, you know, Darling pitched. He's also a broadcaster. He's pitched very well, right? And Severino didn't back up home plate. And he's like, it's inexcusable. It's absolutely inexcusable. It cannot happen.
And Tony
is
critical.
He did it
again. Tony's critical at times, too. And when he is, believe me, I take notice when Tony is critical. Because I know that he has seen something that is worth observing and mentioning when he brings it up. You know, he won't say, he won't just off the cuff be mad at something and, you know, let it spit out. But when he notices something, he will tell you and he will be critical for sure.
Yeah, no question about it. Absolutely no question about it. So, yeah, it does kind of stick out more when he does it,
mm-hmm.
right? You're like, ooh, you really
absolutely
messed up because it's now a glaring something that happened. Well, I hope you guys get in a huge fight today.
More than anything.
Not a fist fight because that.
That wouldn't go well for me. I mean, I'm bigger than he is, but he's a lot faster and stronger
and athletic younger.
Yeah.
And, yeah, more handsome and all of it.
I mean, handsome's in the eyes of the beholder.
Not really. I think it's not really objective. Not in this case. I don't think it's a matter of preference in this
really?
One. No, it's just objectively he's more
it's
handsome.
It's an objective fact.
Yes, it's just a fact.
He's more handsome than I am.
Correct.
There's not one person that could disagree with that statement.
I don't think so.
Really?
I don't think so.
Huh. Hannah and Carol, if you compared you to Tony Gwynn Jr.
She'd probably take Tony Gwynn Jr.
Yes.
Probably.
Yeah.
Not definitely. You're saying that everyone would definitely take Tony Gwynn Jr. over me.
Well,
you say he's just more handsome.
No, she would say, she'd say he's more handsome than you.
Like, if you had 100 people out there and you lined me next to Tony, you're saying all 100 would say Tony is better looking.
Correct.
There wouldn't be one out there. Not one.
No. He's more.
Because if there was one, then it would be subjective.
Right.
That would be everyone can have their own opinion. You're saying this is a fact.
It's a fact.
This is 100 to none. This is a fact.
Yeah, he's a handsome dude. I also don't want him to kick my ass. So I'm also
Lisa, yes, Ben, Laura, sorry about it.
Yeah, sorry, what? Yeah. There's things that you just wear, and then, you know, there's things that can be debated. That's not one of them.
I mean, some people just prefer a bigger guy, maybe?
A portlier, like
yes.
A bigger dude. Yeah, maybe, but I think handsome is different. Handsome's not fit. Your face, his face, objectively.
Just his features.
His features.
What's wrong with my features?
Nothing. He's got better ones.
Do I need to take the glasses off? Does that, now am I?
No, because then you see that mole right there. See? Then they'll get you. Now, you can hide that
still
mole.
Still
no,
you see
still see
it. It's still there.
Remember when I thought that it was that you had like something on your face?
Yes.
Because I'd never seen it before.
Why
I go, oh no, he's on TV. He's got chocolate on his face. This is like opening day. No,
have you ever studied Tony's face? Could he possibly have a
all the time.
A mark or two there?
No, very handsome.
No.
Very handsome fella.
Hmm.
Yep. Sorry, I'm really sorry. I'm not trying to hurt your feelings. I'm saying objectively, you just know he's more handsome.
I mean, I wasn't expecting it to be like 50-50 split here.
Oh, it's definitely not going to be. But I do feel like sometimes you're a little bit delusional. Like with your, I think I could beat Steve Sugimoto at golf
yes.
or Keegan Bradley. But I would be as good of a Ryder Cup.
I don't think I'd
captain.
Beat him half the time. I'm saying maybe like one
never,
out of
no never.
Like 100, just like with the Tony thing.
Never.
Just like 1 out of 100 is all I'm looking for.
Never. I'm trying to get you to realize.
Lightning strikes.
Nope.
Circumstances are just perfect. Mm-mm. All the universe comes into alignment.
A vision impaired lady might find you more handsome than Tony Lynch. You're a blind girl.
Might. Just on vocal quality
sure,
alone.
Maybe vocal quality. Maybe if she feels around, she doesn't like what she feels. But visually, I'm sorry. This one's going to roll to him.
All right, fair enough.
All right, I'm sorry. I'm not trying to hurt your feelings.
Last question. Are you planning on stealing some Round Table pizza on your way out before today's Round Table?
You know what would be a good move is to sit in there for like 10 minutes and just watch you guys do the Round Table. Just really rub it in, eat some pizza. No, I'm not going to be a jerk. I want to get over to camp.
We're just sitting there.
Yep. I'm going to go get over to camp, see Bo. My buddy who's flying in today from Texas. He's already delayed a little bit, so got to pick up Bo, bring him down there, and you know, get on with the vacation this weekend. But
we'll have a really good time. You will be back on Monday.
Yeah,
please be back on Monday.
Yeah.
Paulie and I will hold down the fort tomorrow. We will talk to Mike Schilt at 9 o'clock. You know,
he's probably be happy I'm out.
Hopefully they'll win tonight and somehow, and you know, we'll have a positive victory to talk about tomorrow. I know they don't play. Which
I was
makes
just looking at you like
really unlikely.
Oh, no, he's insane.
That would be nice, but yeah, more than likely they'll still be on a 4-game losing streak when
they
we talk
be.
To Mike Schilt
they
tomorrow
will be, for sure.
And we'll just have to work our way through it.
I'm so sorry, guys. Not sorry enough to come in, but I am sorry.
It'll be okay. We'll manage our way through it tomorrow, no doubt about it. And then Woodsy will be back on Monday. For the rest of you, though, please stay tuned. Join us for the 97.3 The Fan Padres Roundtable. Coming up commercial-free next, presented by San Diego Roundtable Pizza. And then Annie and Elston will be on at 11 o'clock after the roundtable. So that's it for us. We're executive producer and imaging director Paul Reindl for the soon probably now vacationing Stephen Woods. I'm Ben Higgins. I will talk to you in just a second here on the Roundtable on 97.3 The Fan. We'll be right back.